Hi, it's been a while. It's been quite a good while, really, but it's lovely to be here today. So, just bear with me. So, well, quite a lot's been going on, but one of the biggest changes in my life is now I have to wear glasses to read because I cannot see what is there. So, I'm still in this new stage of, because I don't need glasses to see you, I need glasses to read the piece of paper. I'm literally constantly like that, so please bear with me, because I do find it quite difficult. But yeah, literally, I'm like, it got to the point where I was reading my Bible, and I was like, I literally could not read my Bible. So I had to have the audio version, I was following it, I had to sit in a certain light, and the light had to be on a certain way of the page for me to actually see the words. So I was like, I actually think you need to go and get your eyes tested, yeah. I did. So I'm just going to pray as well. So just bear with me. So Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for LBC El Shelton. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here. And Lord, I just pray that whatever you want to say this morning, Lord, I pray that you will use me. Anything that you don't want said, Lord, don't let it come out of my mouth. I thank you, Father, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, oh, wow, I can see my piece of paper now. It makes quite a difference. So, I was praying about this, and I felt God literally give me a really, really simple quote, okay? Now, it's a quote that I have used so many times before, but the truth is, it's a quote that actually is quite challenging. Like, it's quite a challenge for us, because when you really think about it, this is what God is requiring of you. So we can say it quickly, and that's great. And the quote is, you may be the only Bible people read. Now, I love this quote, but the truth is, there are times in my life when I'm like, if anyone's reading me right now, it's not really a reflection of the Bible, or it's not the greatest reflection of the Bible. Because the truth is, at all times, we are representing Jesus. At all times. Not just when life's going good, not just when, you know, it's a lovely sunny day, or there's no traffic on the road, or anything like that. We're representing him at all times. And we're being watched, church. That's what's happening. Now, Pentecost Sunday is today, and we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Do we reflect that? Do we reflect Holy Spirit all the time? You see, not everyone will read a Bible. Not everyone's going to have access to one. But everyone will meet a Christian, okay? And when they do, are we, as the body of Christ, are we representing him well? Are we showing the love of Christ? Are we showing integrity? Are we showing obedience and a genuineness? Our daily actions and words speak loudly. You know that old saying, actions speak louder than words? You can sit and you can talk to someone and you can say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm this, that and the other, but your actions are what's going to show the truth. You can say whatever you want, but it's how you act and how you respond to things. That's what's important. Reuben, could I have Galatians 5, 22 to 23 up? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There's no law against these things. Now, Phil mentioned that earlier and he said, if you want the scripture, you can find it out. Well, there you go. It's Galatians 5, 22, 23. And the truth is, when we are followers of Christ, we're a Christian, we're a disciple of Jesus. Are we reflecting that? Do you go out of here on a Sunday morning and do you reflect love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control all the time? Because if you do, could you please come and chat to me afterwards and teach me how to do it? Because not one of us will do it. That's the truth of it. I've said, I'm quite open about this, and I don't know what it is, but the older I'm getting, my tolerance levels when I'm driving are becoming less and less and less. Let me put it like that. I don't know whether this is an age thing or whether literally I do look and I think there's far too many 12-year-old bad boy racers on the road, or if it's just me thinking that they're a lot younger than me. I'm not sure what the answer is. I do think that they don't know how to drive properly, personally. But that's something, my tolerance levels aren't as great. Well, I can bib my horn in, like, aggression or anger or anything. Am I representing Christ? Not really. Not really. And this is something we all have to work on. Okay? There's a whole world out there that haven't met Jesus, but they're going to come across you and me, and we need to be able to signpost them to him. Are we good witnesses or not? And it's really basic stuff, this is, but the truth is, you might be the only Bible that some people will ever read. That's the truth. Are you going to be a good Bible? Now, the truth is, when I open up my Bible, each time I read it, I get something from it. I get something different. You know when you read, like, a certain book and, you know, you think you know a lot about it, and then God just starts speaking, you're like, wow, I've never looked at it that way. God continually speaks through it. But every time I read my Bible, I come away, and whether God's, you know, been completely direct with me or whatever, but I come away and I feel better. I feel like, you know, God's spoken, even in small things. That's what we need to be. We need to be able to represent him. When you have people off this estate walking in that don't know Jesus, make sure that you are the body of Christ, the people in this church that will welcome them. I've been talking to Tony and Vicky recently because we've set something up over in Birmingham, and it's called Love Builds Community. And I wanted to kind of, you know, glean from them their experiences of the hub that you've got here. And she asked me about it when I came in. We've been going for 6 weeks. 6 weeks, and it's going amazing. But on Friday, there's one man, and his name's Charles, and he's a lovely man, and he always comes in, shakes your hand and everything, and he's really lovely. And as he was going, me and one of the other girls kind of went, Charles, can we ask you a question? And he went, what? And we were like, are you happy with, like, you know, the food that's here? Because basically we're doing like a community shop. They can come in for a fiver, and they can have like up to about 18 items of food. It's going really well. And he went, yeah, yeah. He said, it's brilliant. But what he did say, and he didn't need to say this, he said, I don't just like that. He said, but what I like about coming here, he said, you're all so welcoming. He said, you're all so lovely. He said, you're so kind. He said, you're always smiling. And he's saying all of these things, and he walked away. And I looked at Bernie, who's my friend, and I was like, that's better than the food that he's getting. Because that's a representation of us. We're being Jesus to the community. That's what we've got to be. Are you going to be smiley all the time? No. Of course you're not. But remember that there's a world watching, and that's where it becomes challenging. That's where it becomes challenging. Romans 12, verse 2, Reuben. Thank you. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We're not to be conformed by this world. The Bible clearly states we are to be set apart. And the truth is, you can see why. If you look at the world today, it's not a great place. There's so much compromise, there's so much evil, there's so much uncertainty and confusion. And that's what the enemy does. He brings confusion. And this is where we as the body of Christ have to stand on that. We are set apart. We are going to say things that the world doesn't like. But actually, we can't also fall into the way of the world just to please people. We can't do that. But we are to do everything in love. That's the key. We've got to do everything in love. We're here to show the difference, okay? If we've got a genuine faith, if we've got a genuine faith that's transformed us, the world will see that. Our behaviour matters. The way we carry ourselves matters. The way we speak matters. The way we treat others matters. The way we voice our opinions matters. And how we live our lives matter. Now, the truth is, we've just done communion, and as Phil said, like, communion wasn't just for a certain type of people. You don't have to be a certain type of person to partake in communion. Jesus came to bring us together as one. Am I going to have the same views and opinions as you? No. We're going to differ, but there's a unity that we've got to bring in, and that's what's key. We've got to make sure that that love of Christ, if we've got a love for Christ, that's the thing that can't change. There's no discussion on that. Like, that's what it is. It's so important that we keep that. There's something very wrong in our lives if we think it's okay to come to church on a Sunday, worship Jesus, raise our hands, take part in communion. That sermon really spoke to me. The worship was brilliant. And then walk out of here and Monday to Saturday, you live a completely different life. That, to me, is not a Christian. That's not a follower of Christ. Now, some people might be really offended by that, but the truth is, you need to take that to God, because that's not how my Bible tells me to live. My Bible tells me I am to represent Him at all times. And unfortunately, I've seen it far too often in church that that kind of behaviour is okay. Well, actually, no, it's not. And sometimes people need telling. But there is a way to tell people. I was saying to Vicky earlier about Love Builds Community, what we're seeing. We've been going for 6 weeks. It's once a week on a Friday. 6 weeks, it's not that long. But actually what we're doing is we're building relationships up. You can't have someone from the outside walk in here and meet Jesus and then expect them to be this perfect Christian. It's not going to happen like that. It takes time. It takes a journey. It takes you walking with them, praying with them. But then they will get to a point where you've got a relationship with them that you can say things to them. I always remember Aaron. In the very early days, someone actually sat down with him. That scripture in Revelation where it says you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. To be lukewarm in God is probably worse than being cold. Like, literally. And someone sat there and said to him, you're lukewarm. And I remember him coming home, and it spoke to him. It wasn't a nice thing to hear. It was said in love. It was said by someone that loved him and supported him. But when you hear those things, you know that you've got to do something about it. It's over to you. No one can make you fall in love with Jesus every day. No one can make you live a certain way. It is over to you. If we are trying to win the world for Jesus, then we need to make sure that we start treating each other right all the time. Now, unfortunately, church isn't always the best place, because Christians are hard work. There you go, I've said it. I've said it for you, Phil. Christians can be hard work, because when you know a certain way, it's always got to be that way. No, it doesn't, because God will do things His way. And as long as God is doing it, as long as God is the center, if Phil suddenly starts making out that church is all about him and, you know, you to do certain things for him, that's different. But he's not doing that. And actually, Phil, I am really pleased to see you and Beth still here. So far it's going well. Make sure they stay here, church. You're meant to make their jobs easier. You're meant to make their lives easier. So it's good that they're still here. But the truth is, Phil and Beth should be able to walk out of this room, just like they said last week they weren't here. They should be able to not be here and trust each one of you with their names. They shouldn't be on holiday. They shouldn't be going to something else going, oh, do you think anything bad's being said about us? Because the truth is, Phil and Beth will have their own ways of doing things. You might not like everything that they do, but you know what? Go and talk to them. Don't sit there in a group chatting about it and going, I don't like the way that they're doing this. Go and talk to them, because that's the worst thing. And the reason I share this is my first experience of church really hindered my walk. I spent 2 years searching, two solid years, and I was really searching. I would go to church and, you know, you obviously kind of filter to people your age and stuff like that, which is what I did. And I've right, okay. So I attended this church, and I've got to be completely honest. Do you know what stopped me really committing to God? Christians. That's what stopped me. Because I would turn up to church, I'd be invited out by this group of women, and I'd go and I'd sit there, and the way that they would talk about one another when one of them wasn't there, the way they would talk about other people in the church. And I remember sitting there one day and I was like, now I wasn't a Christian at this point, so hear my, understand my wording, okay? But I remember sitting there thinking, and you lot think you're better than me. Like, literally, you are slating one another. Like, I don't actually think any of them liked each other. They made out like they were this great group of friends. They all slated each other. And I remember thinking, and you lot think you're better than me. And actually, what I thought was, I'm actually better than you. And if this is what Christianity in church is, you can forget it. Because I don't want to go back to being 14 standing in the school playground. Because that's what it was like. Phil and Beth should be able to trust each one of you with their names. You should be able to be integral to them. And it's not because Phil's the pastor or anything, but that should be the same for each one of you in this room. If one of you is going on holiday next week, you should know that the rest of the church have got your back, are blessing you while you're away, and not saying negative things about you. Because I tell you something now, when you've got the outside coming in and they're hearing, if that happens, it will put them off. And I share that because that was my experience. It took me 2 years. Now, I do look back and I think, would I have committed to God sooner? Genuinely, I think I would have. But I literally was like, I don't understand this, because you talk about Jesus, you talk about loving one another, yet literally none of yous like each other. It was the worst Bible I could have possibly read. We've got to change things. We've got to not look like the world, okay? We can't look like the world. The world behaves in a certain way. We're to show the world that there's a better way. 1 Peter 2:21, please, Reuben. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow his steps. We're called to imitate Christ. Now, the truth is, it's not always easy because our flesh takes over. Like I've shared with you, like my tolerance levels when I'm driving, I do have to. God did a number on me though the other day, and I'll share this with you. And I shared it with my friend yesterday, and she was like, because I'm honest, I'm like, God help me, I don't want to be annoyed when I'm driving. I don't actually like driving. Like, literally, whenever we drive, Aaron's driving, because I don't like it. It makes my life easier. That's why I drive. But I don't like driving. And it was my right of way, and I was driving up the road coming home literally last week. And this woman didn't want to let me through. So she forced her way down, so I had to kind of turn. And she stopped her car, looked at me, opened her window and started shouting. Now, I don't do that, okay? I don't do that. But God just gave me this example of, this is what you could look like. And I was like, and I'm preparing this talk, God, I'm going to be the best Bible that anyone else can possibly read. I am going to like sort this out and everything. But I looked at her and I thought, she actually looked really silly. That was my response. I thought, oh, you look really silly. And I thought, do I look like, now I don't go to that extreme, but I thought, do I look silly when I get frustrated? Haven't got frustrated since then, so I need to remember this memory and not lose it. But the truth is, we're called to imitate Christ, and it isn't always easy because our flesh does take over. But that's why it's so important we stay close to God. We're to renew our minds daily. We reach out to him for help and support, okay? Now, I know, it was probably a couple of years ago, I was sitting in my office at church one day and I was preparing something, and it was a talk, flesh or spirit. Hilarious, really. God is so funny, isn't he? So I was preparing this talk and I dropped my daughter to work, and she just turned 18. And she rang me, and as I answered the call, she just went, I can't talk now, I'll speak to you in a bit. And I was like, it's really odd because she's only been in work like a short amount of time. And you know when you know someone's upset and they've been crying? I knew her. So I just messaged her, knowing she's at work. So I was like, as soon as you can, ring me, what's going on? She was like, I'll ring you as soon as I can, Mum. Awful, awful day. And I was like, okay. She's 18 at this point. And then she rings me, probably about half an hour, 40 minutes later, remembering I'm preparing flesh or spirit. And I'm like, God, I'm going to live in your spirit. I'm not going to be overtaken by my flesh. Your spirit is going to just overflow in me. And she rings me and she basically says, Mum, I've come into work today and someone's made an allegation against me. And I went, what do you mean? And she went, someone's made this allegation against me that I've been taking drugs. And I went, right. And she went, so I've been called in by one of the managers and he said, I've got two options. And I went, what are your options, Lars? And she went, I either do a drugs test immediately. She said, I can't go to the toilet. I can't do anything. I've got to wait for the drug testing company to come into work. Or I'm suspended pending a full investigation. I'm telling you now, that spirit went out of me and that flesh took over. I can't lie. I literally was like, do you want me to come down? I mean, I don't know what I thought I was going to do. She's not in high school anymore. I can't walk down to the school going, I want to see the head of you. It's her boss and everything. But what I'm saying to you is, at all times, we have to be, God, let me walk in your spirit, not in your flesh. But there are going to be things that happen that make us fall into our flesh. But it's making sure that we take that step back and kind of go, God, forgive me. Exactly how Phil did communion. You know, the stuff, we're to come to the table. God, cleanse me. Get rid of the rubbish. God, let me not be angry towards someone else. Exactly how he did it was really good because he gave that opportunity to each one of us. If there was stuff in our lives from this last week, God, remove it because I want to come and I want to be before you. I want to get close to you. That's what's important because the truth is we will mess up. Each and every one of us, we will mess up. But we've also got to rectify it because the world is watching what kind of Bible we are. So that's important, and it's not always easy. Our words are heard. We are being watched. We have to carry ourselves well. We can't allow our flesh to overtake and make us a bad witness of Jesus. When we think like this, we need to remember how we are seen by those around us who don't yet know Christ. And I think of this, and I think of children. Children watch adults and they imitate them. When I was little, I would watch adults. And back when I was a child, a lot of adults smoked. A lot of adults smoked. So obviously, I'd get a Kit Kat and I'd pretend it was a cigarette. I remember imitating adults in my family like that. I mean, if I saw my kids doing that, I'd whack it out their hand or anything. What are you doing? But children watch you. They watch the good and the bad. And that's the same as the world out there. You know when you become a Christian and you do something and then people go, thought you were a Christian, you're like, I am, but I got it wrong on this occasion. It happens. We do it. But they watch, they see. And I remember in the very early days of Aaron becoming pastor, there was this lovely family and they got two girls. And I was in a conversation with the mum one day and she came up to me and she went, oh, she said, we're just on the way home now. She said, we're going to leave. And I said, okay. She went, oh, I know what they'll be doing this afternoon. She said, they'll be playing church. And I went, what do you mean playing church? She went, oh, every Sunday, she said, that's their afternoon game. They play church. And I went, oh, what do they do? She went, well, one of them's you and one of them's Aaron. And literally they would stand in their living room and they would imitate me and Aaron. And she said, it's hilarious to watch. She said, because some of the things that Aaron says in the morning, she said, they're coming out with it in the afternoon and they're kind of really going for it and they're watching you and they're saying things. And it suddenly dawned on me, I thought, it's not even the adults that I need to be worried about, it's the kids that are watching us even more. You are being watched. We are being watched. We have a job to do. We've got to behave how Christ wants us to. I remember, and I think it was when we were praying, Phil prayed about baptisms, and We went through a stretch in Albury of baptisms every month for 2.5 years, and the kids would watch it, and the amount of kids that would go home after a baptism service or in the week, and they'd be in the bath going, "Mummy, Daddy, baptise me." It happened with our kids. They'd be like, "Baptise me, baptise me." They're watching. The children are watching, but the adults are watching. And it just highlights, you know, as I was doing this, God was bringing all sorts back. And like I say, the things that the kids were doing, like the whole baptisms, "Baptise me in the bath." And they'd be like, "Play that worship song," because it was their favourite one. And you'd have to do that. And then you'd pretend to baptise them in the... They're watching you. And it highlighted to me, because I was like, God, sometimes we miss this. Sometimes we're so focused on, God, bring them in. And they need to come in. But actually, we need to go out, because the Bible also talks about that. But when we go out, are we being that good representation? Are we really being the best Bible that people can read? And the truth is, we aren't always. We aren't. We have to reflect God, not come into agreements of things of this world. We as followers of Christ have a God-given integrity. We've got to shine it in all areas of our life. Society holds different values to the Word of God. We've been called to follow the truth that God has set before us. We're to reject the way that the world thinks. And the truth is, I think if you look at the world today, there's so many, you can see like things are getting quicker. There's an uncertainty. There's a lot of anxiety in the world. When you talk to people, they're finding it hard. You know, look at something simple. We don't even need to go political, but like the cost of living. Like, it's hard for people. There's this fear and everything. And God's calling us to be set apart. Focus on what I've called you to do. And that's what we need to do. One of my favourite books in the Bible is the book of James. And the truth is, it's probably because, number one, it's an easy read, but its instructions are so simple, okay? It's also probably because Aaron decided he was going to learn the Bible off by heart, and for years I would have to sit there whilst he would read, and I would have to, I don't know it off by heart, he does. I'd have to follow and then correct him when he got it wrong. I mean, I took a little bit of pride in that, I can't lie, but then I can't even remember it. But the book of James is such a good book, because it's how you live. Faith and action, they work together. That's what it is. It's so important. But it teaches us as believers how we should live. It shows us that we're to have an integrity. We're to have a wisdom, but a godly wisdom. We're to display this genuine faith that we've been given. We're to be obedient. And the truth is, it's really quite simple, but we can also get it so wrong. This is why it's so important that we continue to seek God, because it's Him that helps, shapes and moulds us. We're a constant work in progress. We're not the finished article. The day we're the finished article is when we go home to be with Jesus. Whilst you're breathing on earth, you're not the finished article. You're going to have faults. You're going to get things wrong. But I encourage each one of us to be challenged today. But also, be ready to be accountable. Because if you can't be accountable, that's a problem. That is a problem. You've got to learn to be accountable. We're signposts to heaven, okay? We're to reflect Christ, and we're to share the good news. We need to be ready to be the only Bible that some may read. As I was driving down here, I was praying, and I'd just got the worship on, and, you know, Pentecost Sunday, and I haven't given you this scripture, Reuben, don't worry, but something came on the radio and I was like, oh, that's really good. And it's Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. I will read it because I've got it here. We've been given the gift of Holy Spirit. That's what we've been given, okay? We're to reflect Holy Spirit. We're to behave how God wants us to be. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. We're to follow God. God sent Jesus. We got the Holy Spirit. We've kind of got everything. We've got access to everything. Let's be the best Bible that the world can see. And to end, I just want to share this quote. And I came across this, and to be fair, if I'd have read this right at the beginning, you wouldn't have had to have listened to me. That's why I've saved it till the end. But it sums it all up perfectly. Your life is a sermon, not just what you say, but in how you live, how you respond, how you love. People may never read the Bible, but they will read you. So preach without a pulpit. Strive to live in a way that points back to him, because sometimes your life is the only sermon someone will ever hear. Amen.